This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning. How's everybody doing? Almost Happy New Year. If I heard you say 17 degrees one more time, Kim, my gosh, you just tried to pound it in everybody's head like it's 17 degrees. It's 17 degrees.
It's brutal.
It was pretty brutal this morning.
Oof. Morning drive's rough on that schedule, too, because there are people who have to park their cars outdoors, and then you get out and you have to scrape your car at 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, and that's not fun for anybody who, bakers who have to get up early, radio hosts, all these people.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing. The bakers work the true overnight shift. You'd think about, you know, the police officers and the nurses, those types of jobs. But, yeah, you forget that the bakers are also up right now.
That's right. God bless the people who make the donuts. They're up early, early, early for us, and they're scraping their windshields off and everything. So 17 degrees. Wow. I have a sweater almost like the one you're wearing. I think I'm going to go get it and put it on during the break so we can be twins today.
Oh, it is nice wearing those cozy sweaters.
Isn't it nice? Yes, it is. Lots coming up today on the Mark Cox Morning Show. We're going to talk a little bit about gun rights coming up a little bit later because it's Two-Way Tuesday. Luis Valdez is going to be joining us for Gun Owners of America, talking about some cases that potentially or some issues that are happening with guns this year. Kind of interesting stuff. How about Elvis? Elvis is out the door. Elvis is off the bench. He's left the building. Should we make jokes here or what?
but it's interesting because it wasn't his. I mean, I would imagine it added to the reasoning for them removing him from his position, but they're saying it was actually him taking a political, I guess, openly discussing politics in court.
Right.
That's
right.
What led to their decision to say, yeah, you're out.
Well, plus, I mean, you know, just talk about unprofessional demeanor.
No, Clint. Heidi, don't say the dressing up as Elvis is unprofessional. Come
they
don't on.
Even do that in Vegas, girl. I've never seen anybody even do that in Vegas. I mean, come on, buddy.
You definitely the Elvis impersonators everywhere, right? In Vegas?
Well, oh, everywhere. I mean, literally, I saw a guy in total, complete, full Elvis regalia at the store at Walmart one day. And I go, hey, I took a picture of him. He's like, hey, put, you know, the thumb out, like, hey. And nobody paid attention. Nobody even looked up at Walmart. It's no big deal. Maybe this judge can move to Vegas and get himself a job on Fremont Street. You know, they call them the buskers, and they give him like a circle they can stand in for a certain period of time. Then he can do his thing there, maybe.
Hey, you know what? Your career doesn't have to end here. Like you said, go to Vegas. He probably has a number of Elvis wigs.
Vegas, where a lot of careers have ended. That's just you come to the land of Vegas. Yeah, I don't. You have to wonder why people even become judges when they're going to act like that. I mean, and it's hard when you're voting for judges, and we all go through this. You look online, you look at their websites, you look at what they say, and it's really difficult to decide who's got the because there's no way to know judicial temperament from a website. And what'll happen, I'm sure you get the same thing. Questions people ask you, who should I vote for? Who's a good judge? You're saying, I don't know.
Yeah, Mark will put out his voter guide, which is really helpful. I can't remember if he puts judges on there. There are some that are more obvious than others, but it is really hard because you're sitting here trying to look at the different court cases they've ruled on and how they've ruled. And I'll be honest, who has time for that? It does matter, but who has time to sit there and sift through all that?
Yeah, and it's difficult, too, to know good judges because in some jurisdictions, they'll do things, for example, like they'll do a judging the judges, they'll do polling and that kind of thing, right? But who do they poll? They poll lawyers. Okay, now 50% of the people who walk out of a courtroom or courthouse, I should say, every single day, 50% are unhappy. So you're starting with that. And the fact that somebody gets voted poorly by the lawyers may reflect the fact that they ruled against them and not necessarily. I mean, they claim to, they talk about, well, it's their demeanor, it's this, they're professional, they're prepared, blah, 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 blah. But you and I both know that when you say no, they say you were rude. That's the first rule of hospitality. If you work in the hospitality industry and like, let's say you go to a hotel and it's packed. somehow it's you made a reservation or you didn't make one in time and the hotel's completely full. If the person at the front desk says, "I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm sorry, sir. We're full." No matter how you put it, they're going to say you were rude because you said no. So my point being, going back to the judges, if you're in court and you rule against some lawyer, they're going to be upset with you and vote you down in these judicial, you know, these things that they do around the country, these guides and whatnot. And the next thing you know, it hurts your, you know, it hurts your future. Or if you rule against powerful people or powerful entities in a court case, what do? They get somebody to run against you in the primary. That's mm-hmm. exactly what they do.
Right.
So it's hard to know as a person whether, I mean, I don't even know whether this guy was actually a decent judge. Do we know? I mean, his antics were what he's famous for, but do we know if he had fair rulings?
I don't know that, but I really would like to see some. I wish there were surveillance video where I could actually watch him playing the Elvis music and dressing up as Elvis during court proceedings. I just can't imagine what that would have been like if you had some serious court case and here he is, you know, saying, "Hello, baby."
No, that's a good point that you make, because when people are in court, you know, obviously even civil cases can be very, very serious for somebody. A lot of money on the line a lot of times. And then especially if there's a violent case, some kind of criminal case, you know, what are you doing making jokes? This isn't funny. Somebody's been victimized here.
I'm just thinking of all the puns I could make right now that he probably made during court
hearings.
Throw
them out there. Throw them out there, please.
I'm just sitting there. I'm trying to think of some good ones. Come back to me.
Okay. I'll come back to you later. But yeah, it's just, well, I said Elvis has left the building. There's that.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Okay. We got all kinds of Elvis. How are you doing this morning, Ethan?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. I'm good. Looking forward to 2026. I think it's going to be a better year. What do you guys think?
Man, I hope so. I mean, if based on what Trump is saying, the economy should be better than it was this year, right? We're a year into his term and it seems to be going in the right direction, so I'm hopeful about that. As far as the craziness from the left, I'm not hopeful about that. It'll probably ramp up. The midterm election, that will be very interesting. And, you know, we have to be careful. As conservatives, we can't sit here and say, oh, we have control of the House and the Senate, and, you know, we can just coast. This is time to really put the pedal to the metal and make sure that we maintain control of that. Because we were playing a soundbite yesterday, Heidi, from Nancy Pelosi, who feels very confident. You expect someone like her to say this, but feels very confident the Democrats will take back control of the House. And has already said Hakeem Jeffries is going to be Speaker.
Nancy's still alive. She's still around. I don't wish her death. I'm not saying that. But I mean, my gosh, did she open the coffin and speak again? Is that what she's doing?
How old is she? Because, I mean,
80-something.
She's definitely with it more than, say, a Mitch McConnell.
Oh,
but,
she
but
is.
There certainly
Absolutely.
Should be.
That's a low bar.
I don't know if you should see. That is a very low bar. I don't know if you should say an age limit, because you have someone like Trump who's 79, and that guy could just run circles around people who are in their
That's
50s
true.
As far as energy goes. So I don't know that a specific age limit, but at some point, you're too old and you need to stop serving in Congress. All right.
She's
Mitch McConnell, 85. Wow.
85.
Okay. Well, you know what? She looks great for 85. I'll give her that. All right. She's very, very with it. Props to her for that. But when you're collapsing like Mitch McConnell has done on several occasions, it's time to go. Stop being so power hungry, Mitch McConnell, and refusing to leave office. It's very, very frustrating when people are so desperate to cling to power that they think that that's acceptable, to be quite literally falling down and saying, "Oh, no, I'm fine. I'm good."
Our founders did. You know, they didn't envision that. They envisioned people leaving the farm, leaving their business to go and serve for a few years in Congress, and then they would go back home to the actual job, you know, like Bernie Sanders left his job to, oh, I'm kidding. you know, it was not supposed to be your full-time career for 40 years, Congress. It never was supposed to be that way.
Well, now it is. And then you have, what would you hear, Ilhan Omar, and how her, was it her net worth or something like that has increased?
Well, 30 million or something?
Like 3,500% since 2023. And now, thankfully, there's an investigation because her husband scrubbed some information from some account and really, really sketchy stuff.
Yeah,
maybe she got some
bartender.
Trading. You think maybe she got some inside information from Nancy Pelosi on different trading? And
stop being so cynical, Kim. These people work hard for their money.
That's true.
Come on. Not really. All right, let's check in with, get the national anthem. We'll be back. I'm Heidi Harrison.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron.
This is a paper listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark Cox. Good morning. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Late. All that good stuff. It's kind of a weird time of year, isn't it? Because isn't it easier when Christmas and New Year are basically 1 week apart? Like they're not in the middle of the week. Like
oh,
this
at
time.
First I'm thinking, wait, they're always 1 week apart. You're talking about what, the day of the week?
The business week.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, this is the week where a lot of people are off and you get really confused what day it is. And it feels very weird. If you're actually in the office like us, it's also kind of a creepy feeling because nobody else is really in the office. It's kind of a ghost town.
It is weird because of the fact that the holidays are broken up. You know, people are taking off part of a week and then they're not taking off the other part of the week and you don't know who's in and who's out. Whereas if it were one solid week between Christmas and New Year, talking about business week here, then it would be easier. People would be back after New Year, that kind of thing.
I always have kind of wished that Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's would be spread out a little bit more.
Yeah, this year, wasn't it short? Because Thanksgiving was so late this year.
Yeah, Thanksgiving was late. But even so, it just still feels like it's just chaos. It's excitement. You know, it's not like it's a bad thing. It's just there's so much going on. Once you get to January, after you hit New Year's, you're just thinking, now I just have like 3 months of crazy cold, you know? And then, of course, you have Easter to look forward to. But that's not for a while. And so it's kind of like that little depression that you hit, you know, in January, where it's just cold and dreary and still getting dark, even though it's the winter solstice has passed. So you're supposed to be getting lighter and lighter and lighter. It's only, you know, a minuscule amount. So it still is kind of depressing that it's still dark at 5 p.m. and freezing cold.
Yeah, that is hard. That I don't like, especially when it gets so dark so early. Now, when you work morning drive, as I did for many years full time, it is nice when it gets dark early. We're not going to lie about that. It's hard to go to bed when it's still light till, you know, 7, 8 o'clock at night.
Oh, 9 for us sometimes in the summer.
Wow. That's
crazy. 8:45, yeah.
That's brutal. Yeah. That's the one advantage of it. So let's talk a little bit about 2026 from the standpoint of what's going to happen with the economy and jobs. I saw an interesting article the other day in the LA Times about how people have graduated from Stanford, which is, you know, considered one of the best schools in the country, right, for certain things. And they can't get a job. You know, we've talked in the past, Kim and you and I, about AI and the dangers of AI and how I'm not saying you shouldn't have it. I use it for some things. It's here. We can't do anything about it. But these people cannot get even entry level jobs after getting a degree at Stanford. They're saying, isn't that crazy? This is the associate professor of bioengineering. He said Stanford computer science graduates are struggling to find entry level jobs. Entry level. They can't get anything. And what I find fascinating about that is even like, let's say 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you got a computer science job. A lot of times by the time you graduated, things had changed out in the marketplace and you might not even have the skills necessary. But now these kids get out of there, they've got these fancy degrees and they can't get jobs doing anything.
So they're saying it's specifically jobs that could be taken over by AI,
right?
Because to me, there's still a lack of people who are willing to actually work hard. So that would surprise me that there's not enough entry-level jobs. To me, it's more of the higher end, the management type roles that are very hard to come by these days, right? Directors, yeah, and things like
right.
that. But yeah, I mean, if it's a job that AI can easily take over, it's frustrating as an employee, yeah. But it's hard to blame the companies when things are tight, right? The economy hasn't been as good. It's on the up and up, but you know, they're looking at ways to cut too. So maybe eliminating one or two positions is better than having to lay off five people.
Yeah, it is fascinating. Anthropic, I don't know the company, but Anthropic CEO Dario Amodei said 70 to 90% of the code for some products at his company is written by his company's AI. 70 to 90%. The CEO of Vectara, a guy whose name I can't pronounce, Amir Adwadala, I think that's correct. I'm not trying to butcher it. He's from Palo Alto. He says, we don't need the junior developers anymore. The AI can now code better than the average junior developer that comes out of the best schools out there. So 2026 might be just really rough for some people who, how many years have we told them they have to get a STEM degree? Get a degree in STEM, science, technology, engineering, math. Some people, you know, engineers, those kind of people still may have jobs, but wow, can you imagine? I don't know what it costs to go to Stanford. I know my brother put my nephew through NYU Stern a couple of years ago, and I want to say $60,000 a year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I would imagine at least that. Well, you know, a lot of when my sister-in-law got her master's degree not too long ago, I was listening in on the graduation ceremony, and I'll tell you, easily 80% of the people were graduating with a degree in cybersecurity. It seemed to that was the number one thing people were wanting to focus on, which does make sense because moving forward, that's going to be the concern. Look how easy it is for hackers to get into a system. Yeah. And it's like a game of whack-a-mole. You squash one of them and then 10 more pop up.
Right. It's like it is like the whack-a-mole game. Interesting that so many people were drawn to cybersecurity. Well, it's a huge, obviously a huge issue when corporations are held hostage, people are held hostage. It's a big, big deal.
Wow. So I'm trying to think, though, if you're looking specifically at AI, what type of degree would that be? You can't major in AI right now, but would there be some sort of coding? I mean, coding is big, and I kind of wish I knew how to code. But maybe that will be obsolete because AI will start doing that.
Why would you code, Kim? With your looks and your personality, why would you sit in a booth and code?
Sounds incredibly. I'd rather almost watch paint dry, but you can do cool things if you know how to code.
That's for the people who have no personality. And I'm not putting anyone down because God makes us all special for a reason as far as our abilities. You know, the person who gets the payroll done, things like that, generally they're a little calmer than we are. There's a reason we do what we do.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd be described as calm. I mean, I'm not.
Right.
Crazy, no, but yeah, I have a lot of
But that's what I'm saying. You are very spunky, and that's what you need to be for what you do. And I mean, I couldn't do it. I couldn't sit, I'm hard pressed to sit at my computer and do the things I have to do at home all the time, you know, editing and all the different things that I have to do. I'm thinking, I don't want to do this. I want to read a book. I want to go take a walk. You know, everybody's geared for certain things, but some people can sit in a cubicle. My husband, before he started his own business, used to do that. He would sit in a cubicle and do his job, marketing job. And he could, and I remember going to visit him at work, and you could hear your socks drop in the hallway. Okay. Oh, unlike radio, right?
Torture.
See, I'm used to radio where you know, everybody's crazy. And yeah, and everyone's talking in the hallway and this and that and the other. And I thought, oh my gosh, I would die in this environment.
Oh, I've thought about that. I was that person when I would sit in school and college, and I would just watch people sit in the same position for the entire hour-long lecture and think, how are you doing that? I'm constantly moving, and you get very distracted. And yeah, I'm so not that person who could just sit in a cubicle and be quiet and listen to the little background elevator music.
Of course not. And there's nothing wrong with those people. We're not criticizing them. God bless them. They get us paid. And they do the other things that we need to do. And we appreciate that we're all different. But yeah, the idea that you shouldn't have to try to force yourself to be somebody you're not. And this is why, you know, we do what we do. Short attention spans are good for radio because every 5 minutes you're changing the subject.
Very true.
And so if you're somebody who's going to get into, you know, hours and hours in a dissertation of a particular topic, that this may not be the job for you, especially mornings.
It is interesting how God made us so differently, where something that sounds absolutely awful to me is very appealing to somebody else.
Right.
Thank goodness for it, because we do need people doing different jobs. So
exactly right. You know, my husband has this amazing ability to be able to look at something and understand how it works like no one I've ever seen. He just, I could, you know, I'm the kind of person when I was single, if a lamp took one buzz, I threw it in the trash. I was nervous, right? But he's just amazing. But he's got that ability. He's never going to starve to death, that's for sure. But everybody's got a different way. And that's, you know, what makes it kind of fun. And nobody should be criticizing somebody because they don't have this personality or that personality or this attention span. We're all different.
Right.
And that's what makes society. And we're grateful for that.
Yep. 100%.
All right. Coming up, Kim on a whim. Hey, do you see us? We're twinning now. Do you
I
see
just
this?
Saw that. I know someone said there that Ethan didn't get the memo to wear a black sweater with stripes. Come on, Ethan.
I'll try better.
Change.
I know, man.
Let's text each other tomorrow, you guys. What do you think?
But, I think it's a good idea. We're twinning like we're winning.
There you go.
Hitting our marks. Did I get a Taylor Swift reference in there? Yes, I did.
Couldn't even tell you.
Okay, you got to catch up. I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark Cox.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kim on a whim.
A New York school has made a surprising discovery after banning smartphones during school hours. Teachers found their students could not read a traditional clock. The kids have been insisting that they learn to read an analog clock in first grade, but without practice, this skill seems to have slipped away with time.
Oh, of course, had to make the pun there, but is that not just so sad? I mean, I didn't really think about that. You know, Missouri just implemented its cell phone ban, or at least public schools are required to restrict cell phone use. That took effect July 1st of this year. And I know Illinois is pushing for the same thing. J.B. Pritzker wants a cell phone ban, but they haven't officially made it law. Probably coming down the pipeline. But man, maybe we need to worry about students not being able to tell time because they just have their phone to look at the time all you know, whenever they want. They don't actually have to read a clock. It's kind of like us where, you know, when I was a kid growing up, I remember my parents having the maps, right, where they would actually, like, look at the highway system, and that was how they figured out, or we eventually print off MapQuest. Well, now, I mean, you don't even have to think about it. It's funny, actually, when someone will sit there and try to say, all right, go west and then south and then north, and I'm like, just tell me the address, and I'll plug it into my GPS. I don't even want to think about it. I'm going to forget all the turns. Just tell me the address.
Right.
So we don't even have to learn directions as much anymore. And I guess that's what's happening with cell phone use, where these kids who grow up with it, it's not like me where it wasn't a thing for a while growing up and then we started getting the cell phones. But for kids where this is all they know, yeah, I mean, if you're not, even if you learn, they say, you, I guess you're learning how to tell time in about first grade. If you're not having to use it on a semi-regular basis, I guess you just lose the skill.
Right. You know, it's going to be weird if we ever have any kind of EMP attacks and we have no power for whatever period of time. People aren't going to know how to function on a lot of levels. I mean, when my husband and I drive across the country, which we do, we take a lot of trips in our camper, we always bring a hard copy atlas. I don't trust the phone on everything. I always like to have paper.
The phone has definitely misguided us.
That's
sure.
Right. That's what I'm saying. And I always double check it because you just never know. Or this way, it may not know another way. And it's just old school. There's a reason it's old school, because it works.
That would probably be a really funny game show, is if you had people who had to have a hard copy of a map. People my age, or maybe a little bit younger, more the Gen Zers. And it was a race to see who could get somewhere the quickest, but you had to use a hard copy of a map. Or it sounds like down the road, the other episode for the game show idea that I've just created in the last 2 minutes would be that they have to, tell time, look at an analog clock and actually figure out what time it is.
Yeah, well, not only that, but if you're looking at a regular map, a paper map, you can get a larger idea of what the entire area is, as opposed to turn here, turn here, turn here. That just gives you a tiny little view of the whole area.
Everything you're saying is right. It's just, it's sad that if you gave me a map right now, I have full faith that I would figure it out, but I would embarrass myself because I don't use it. Right. I rely too heavily on my cell phone.
Well, a lot of skills that we all tend to lose as you start using the phone more, right?
Well, yeah. And it's funny because, Heidi, I was talking about that story that you shared with me yesterday where there was some study that talked about how cell phone use is is actually good, they say, for cognitive development. Or I shouldn't say development, but to prevent cognitive decline in the quote-unquote older adults, which I guess they categorize right. over 50, which is kind of funny. You know, so there, I guess, is there is some good use for cell phones. But in this case, I mean, we do have to be careful where you get so dependent on it. And, you know, you see the jokes about ChatGPT where we use it so much that you forget how to answer a basic question. Someone says, how are you? And you feel like you have to ask ChatGPT what's an appropriate response for how are you? Because people don't know how to interact. They'd rather sit in their basement and not engage with, you know, 3D people. They'd rather just hang out and play games and stay in their dark basement all day.
Yeah, it's hurt us socially. No question about that.
It's kind of scary when you think about. It's exciting, but it's scary at the same time to think about the future as technology. And we were just talking about AI, how that continues to develop. This whole virtual reality thing that's really taken off is also pretty scary to me. And what that will look like moving forward, what right. kids will have access to. Have you ever worn
scary.
those VR goggles?
No, have you done them?
I'm trying to think if I've even worn them. I certainly don't own them. I'm trying to think if I've ever even worn them. Have you, Ethan?
Once or twice. My nephew owns some.
Well, tell us. Are they good?
I mean, I don't. They're VR. It was just a game. So.
But do you really feel like you're immersed into whatever you're doing?
Yes and no. Like, you could tell it's a game, but at the same time, like, you know, one of them was, like, walking on a girder, and if you fall off, it looks like you're falling kind of thing. And that one messed with me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
I have enough trouble just dealing with reality here. I can't take anything else on. You know, I don't have the bandwidth for it.
Well, they talk about, I'm trying to think of some of those games that they've, the video games that they've said, oh, it's causing kids to be violent. What am I, the COD or something?
Yeah,
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty,
things
yeah.
like that.
And
by the way, the guy who started that, you know, just died in a car accident last week.
I did
week.
See yeah. that, yeah. But
wrecked his, what, $200,000-$300,000 car? Whoops, that's a
yeah,
way to go.
I don't know. I did see that, though.
He's dying with diapers on. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
But, like, you know, think about if you were to be able to play a game like that using the VR goggles, and you're the one who's actually in. Maybe they already do that and that exists, and I'm just behind the eight ball here. But being in that situation where you're, with virtual reality, the one actually killing or stabbing or whatever, mm-hmm. I would like to think that they would put restrictions on that. Then I think about VR as it relates to porn. I mean, there's just so many things.
Right.
Dark, twisted ways that the technology that was so quickly developing, twisted ways it can go.
Yeah. What's wrong with reality, folks? Really, it's not enough for you? Just enjoy reality?
No, it's not, Heidi. That's too stressful for people. It's overwhelming. What was it like? Social? People just get, I mean, everyone has anxiety nowadays. The amount of kids being diagnosed with that is through the roof.
Where does that come from? I mean, you're a mom of two. They're little still, but, you know, I mean, where's the anxiety? You know, maybe it's because we don't let kids do anything and realize they can or let them fail. Is that what it is?
Probably part of it.
I think they're just misdiagnosed a lot of times.
I think they're misdiagnosed. And my understanding is that sometimes in order to get insurance coverage, they do diagnose. So they have to come up with some diagnostic code in order for the insurance company to pick up any of the bills. So maybe for the family, for the purposes of them getting some paid appointments paid for, they'd say, hey, it's actually better off if we just, you're on the verge. So let's just say, yeah, you have anxiety disorder.
But we've all dealt with things that make us anxious, new situations, whatever. I mean, it's part of life. You conquer it. That's what you do. You don't live with things. I have an anxiety disorder. Give me a break.
Well, no, I do. I feel like there are a lot of things now that the kids these days are having to grow up with that we didn't have to deal with. You think about social media, right? Where, you know, you have the bully at school, but once you left school, they were done,
right.
okay? And
right.
now it just carries through and you have bots that are telling people to kill themselves and to think a certain way about themselves. And there are more challenges. You know, there's screen. You keep hearing about the impact that food and all the household chemicals that we use, the impact that that's having on people. I've even heard the dyes in our food. That's having an impact. For example, like it can cause ADHD and other sorts of things that you would never correlate with. Oh, yeah, it's what's in my food is causing me to have a particular reaction emotionally, but it That's what they're saying can happen. And that's one of the reasons why RFK Jr. has been very, very intent on, I want to make sure these dyes are removed from our foods because it's causing other issues. The chemicals in our laundry detergent and the you know, the spray we use on our kitchen counter every day to disinfect it. That's all leading, I believe. And the screen time. There's so many other things. It's a think about our attention span as adults and with kids. And I see it in my son too, my almost 3-year-old son. I have to be very careful about that because they have these toys that are, they have lights and music and all the things. And it, that's why some of the parents are doing the whole Montessori thing where it's basically like a wooden toy that doesn't have any lights and all the bells and whistles.
I like wood toys. For kids, when I buy toys for other people's children, I buy them wood toys. Good old fashioned wooden toys.
See, I'd see the value in that. We have the light up toys and stuff, and they're kind of annoying and quite honestly a little freaky because sometimes they'll go off when you're not touching them.
That does scare
you. Scares the bejeebus out of you.
Yeah, and it's fewer batteries with a wood toy. I'm just saying.
Oh, no, it's true. And well, nowadays, a lot of these toys, you have to charge them. So you have 5,000 chargers, and it's not a basic charger. It's a specific one for that. So sometimes it's good if you lose it because you don't have to listen to the annoying music that comes with it. But how do you keep track of all the chargers?
Well, you know what? I do nursery at my church. I don't have kids, but I do nursery at my church. And I mean, I get more fun with these kids if I bring in a cardboard box. I saw neighbors one time spend 3 hours building a Cinderella's castle in their backyard, you know, the plastic thing. And guess what the kids were playing in when it was all done? The box it came in.
Yep.
That's what the kids were all in. Give them a cardboard box and maybe cut out some little windows and they have fun for hours.
No,
I mean, what happened to simplicity? It's out the door.
No, it's true. I agree. It's funny how you can spend this money on some fancy toy, and then you're right, it's the box that came in that's more exciting.
Right. It requires creativity and coming up with a way to entertain themselves. I mean, one of the problems that we have nowadays is no one can entertain themselves. When I was a kid, I'd go into my room and just be in there for hours with my stuff and no TV, no electronics, and be able to entertain myself. And that seems to be a lost art anymore.
Well, isn't it sad that it went from you don't even have a TV. Now people have a TV, it feels like, in every room. We intentionally don't have one in our bedroom. But I will admit, I'm one of those people where I'll put something on TV and I'll still scroll. And soon that won't be enough. It's like you're going to have the TV on and scroll and be listening to a podcast. And it's sad. It's like it keeps evolving and getting worse and worse and worse.
Yeah. And the truth is you can't focus on more than one thing.
No,
you can. You can't.
We have the attention span of a gnat.
That's getting worse by the minute. That's for sure. All right, Kim on a Whim. We're going to do Kim on a Whim coming up here a little bit later in the 7 o'clock hour. Looking forward to that. I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark Cox. I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark Cox. Happy New Year, late Christmas, all that good stuff. By the way, if you'd like to text us, our text line is 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. Weigh in on anything we're talking about this morning. I don't have any of the plus services like Paramount Plus. Do you have any of those, Kim?
Not Paramount. We have streaming services like, you know, Amazon Prime and unfortunately Disney. You know, we've got some Disney movies we do like to put on every now and then.
Yeah. I'm just asking because I've not seen this TV show. It's called Landman with Billy Bob Thornton.
Don't you watch that, Ethan?
It is amazing.
Okay. I'm not criticizing it because I've never seen it. And Billy Bob Thornton.
I like it a lot.
I mean, he's very talented, but apparently how old is he? Like 100?
He's not old.
He looks 100. Okay. I'm not saying it doesn't make him a great actor and he doesn't have to be, you know, Matthew McConaughey. Nobody's saying that. But this is not a guy I'd want to see full frontal. And apparently they did a full frontal scene on this show. Full frontal. Billy Bob Thornton, this scrawny little beef jerky guy. They did a full frontal. Kim.
No, I've never.
Unless it's the newest episode, then I haven't seen it.
I think
is,
you would remember that episode.
I know. I'm like, I don't remember that one.
Yeah, Sunday night. I'm just, really? This is never the guy.
I would never do that as an actor or an actress. I wouldn't do it.
Where's Bradley Cooper? That's what I'm saying. Let's get him in that scene.
I mean, they don't really do that many full frontal. I guess they do. I'm just probably not watching the movies that have them.
I don't either. You know what I don't understand? I guess there was, what's the other one? There was some other, I don't really watch these series, but you can't help it. With many news sites as you and I look at every single day, right? We can't avoid these stories. But there was one that just got totally woke. Was it Stranger Things or something? Just got totally woke in the last episode. And
They threw in what, a gay relationship and some other stuff, and people were just like, can we just stick to the story here?
I know. No, it's true. They always have to have some little addition where it makes it, you know, oh, we're LGBTQ friendly or whatever the case may be.
I mean, if you've watched the show, everyone's known since pretty much the first season what was happening.
So this just confirmed it.
Yeah, okay. It was like one of the characters came out and it was like a 10-minute scene that they didn't really need. So everybody already knew it. Like, and it was just, everybody's saying, oh, it's because it's woke and stuff. It was because it was horribly acted and it was horribly written. It was just a bad scene. And people are like, no, you're a homophobe. No, it was totally horrible. It was just a bad scene.
But first of all, to call someone homophobic really means you're scared of gay people. I'm not scared of gay people.
Nobody is. I love gay.
I mean, if you're gay, I still would love you, right? You still have intrinsic value as a human being. But I can say I don't support that lifestyle. That's very different. We should separate the two. I can't stand how everyone's like, you're Islamophobic or you're a homophobic or you're transphobic. Yeah. No, that's not true at all. But, you know, for a show like that to come out with the two gay people or whatever, the characters, would the people who were not part of the LGBTQ plus whatever community, would they be mad if they didn't have a gay character? Because you're making people who don't support that and are sick of all the wokeness in shows, you're making them mad. But are you making people mad on the other side if you don't have that? Does that make sense? Why even go down that road? Why just not have the characters, not have that scene?
They have their own channel, Bravo, right? Isn't that one of those? Is that still around even?
I know Bravo's around. I don't watch it, but I know it's around.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, nobody hates gay people. If I don't like you, it's because you're a jerk. It's not because you're gay. That's not going to be how we go. I just, it's amazing how this has happened now. These scenes have just gotten ridiculous. And you're putting things in that don't necessarily even match with the show is the problem. A lot of people are just tired of.
They're not necessary. Just leave it out. No one would probably have noticed had you just left it out.
Yeah. Do you remember the movie Brokeback Mountain? Ethan probably does. Do you remember that movie?
I remember it. I never did see it, though.
I never saw it, but I remember the two gay guys.
Yeah, I remember writing a column about it at the time. And what I criticized about it was about cheating on your spouse. And I had some gay guy who was a columnist at the same publication I was writing for, come after me. It's okay, I'm a big girl. I can take it. Bring it on, bud. Come after me, totally missing the point. It wasn't about championing gay people. It was about a guy who cheats on his wife every year on some hunting trip or fishing trip or whatever. And that's wrong, gay or straight. Mm-hmm. I don't care if we're talking about the bridges of Madison County or Brokeback Mountain. I'm going back a ways, I know. But you know what I'm talking about. I mean, you were championing adultery. Doesn't matter if you're gay or straight. We're championing, you know, if you're that conflicted as a guy, then don't get married to a woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's all I said, you know?
Well, because, then they would say, well, it's because he was maybe forced to be married. I never saw the movie, but it's almost like it makes it acceptable because he wasn't being able to be his true self, right?
Right.
And so that's why he was able to be himself now, and it maybe somehow justified or gave him empathy for cheating on a spouse.
Right. But when you're married, that relationship becomes primary. If you're straight, you're not allowed to screw around with other straight people. If you're, you know, if you're conflicted, you're not. I mean, even if you're a gay couple married now legally, you're not allowed. I mean, it's frowned upon to be running. I mean, it's about adultery. Let's be honest here. It wasn't about anything else.
Even the Disney shows now, you have to be careful what you show your young kids because they put in little trans characters and that's very confusing for kids, especially of a young age who don't understand that, but are little sponges and they soak that all in and you don't even realize that. I mean, that's why it matters so much what these kids are being taught at a very young age in school and why I'm so thankful for all the parents who go and they speak out at these school board meetings and they care about what books are in the libraries because these little kids' brains, they're soaking it all in and they don't even realize that they've been indoctrinated, that they've adopted this mindset of, oh, this is acceptable. This is the way things are. No, it's not.
Right.
That's not natural. That's not the way it was supposed to be.
But the problem is the people whose agenda it is to get to your kids know this. They want to get to their little brains while they're little, and they want to convince them that certain things are totally normal, get them used to whatever it is that they want to push, an agenda. When I was a little kid, there was a movie that they showed us in, I was about eight, And they showed us a movie that I'm not even going to mention the name of, where they showed like hunters shooting prairie dogs on the prairie and baby seals getting hurt. I'm cleaning this up. Okay. Traumatized by it. Traumatized at 8 years old with no context given to anything. And my parents didn't okay that. And I've never forgotten it. It was horrific.
What was the point of showing that?
Because they wanted to turn us into little environmentalists, not understanding, you know, I'm not defending the seals and what, I'm just saying it was just horrific.
And well, yeah, eight, that's traumatic.
It was very traumatic. And they did it on purpose. And it never should have been shown in a school. And yet it was. And they know that they can get to your little brain at an early age, then they can turn you into a little environmentalist, a little vegan, a little whatever they want to do. They understand the power they have when you're a little kid.
Yeah. That's very true.
And that's
true.
What makes it so difficult. So when you talk about you having to watch out for what they're doing, yeah, they're doing it intentionally. And God bless the parents like you and others who stand up and say, you know, this is not okay. You got to fight every day. It's a battle for your kid's mind anymore.
Yeah. And that's why it's so frustrating about public schools. You feel like you either have to homeschool or you have to pay to go to private school. And even private school is not even necessarily safe. Maybe safer, but
absolutely
still not,
not
safe. Homeschool, really, I don't know that I'm doing that with my kids, but that is really the safest bet.
It is, because then and there are all kinds of homeschool groups and all that good stuff that they're out there. Tons of communities for homeschool. And their kids are not weird because they're homeschooled. People think that is wrong. I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark Cox.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.